Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no other gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no
as we listen to the words that we are to share today. I have several readings. I'm going to start off this morning with a Trinitarian prayer, it's called. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we worship you as the creator and sustainer of the universe. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Savior and Lord of the world. Holy Spirit, we worship you, Sanctifier of the people of God. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may live this day in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, we pray that this day we may take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, we pray that this day you will fill us for your service and cause your fruit to ripen on our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God, have mercy upon us. Amen. Let us join together in song in the Brown Worship Hymnal, number 9, Praise to the Lord Almighty, number 9.
And if you can stand, I'd like you to stand, and let's sing verse 1 in German, and we'll sing verse 2, 3, and 4 in English.
Oh,
welcome everyone here this morning. Are there any guests to introduce? Oh, welcome here this morning. This is Thanksgiving weekend. We had a celebration last weekend, and this weekend, tradition has it, many people go and close up their cottages. So if you own a cottage and you're here, welcome. Frau White would like to have a children's story now. Are you coming up too, Nick?
Good morning. I'm not quite ready. I wasn't looking. It's kind of been that kind of morning in the White House. Yes, the White House. That's kind of cool, hey? That means we're like presidential. Good morning. The last couple weeks in church, we've been talking about fruits of the Spirit. And the one that I picked to talk about today, maybe you can figure it out. I've got some tin cans, and there's letters on them, and now they're all mixed up. Can anyone see the word? I'll give you a hint. The first letter is the capital one, Rhea. Goodness, yes, okay, let's fix them so that everybody can read them. Goodness, does anyone know what goodness is? Jalen, it's like not being mean to other people, exactly. Now, I spent a couple of days thinking about goodness, and it's kind of hard to define because it depends who you're talking to. Some people think some things are good that people in church think are not good. And some people think things are good that people in church think are good, and other people think, well, that's not good. So, in my thinking and reading, I found out that it's actually, for us in church, we have to think about what Jesus thought was good. And if he thought it was good, then it was good. So, all around us, people who do not have enough money for food. So you see these cans here? Is there something good we can do with the cans? Jalen. We can give them to other people because I know the White House, we have lots of food. And I know there's other people that maybe don't have so much food. Is there something our church does that's good with cans? Does anyone know? We give them to Winnipeg Harvest. Do you guys know where that big bin is in our church? Rhea? Back there. So we're going to, today, each of you can help me. We're going to go for a walk after we've said our prayer here together. We're going to go put all these good cans into the bin and we'll share one of the fruits of our spirit, which is goodness. Exactly. Okay, let's bow our head for prayer. Dear God, help us to try and show goodness towards others through our actions so they can see the fruit of your spirit in us. Amen.
In your brown hymnals, number 304, The True Vine.
To take your bulletins and glance at them with me. Our thoughts and prayers are with those people that are in care today, and especially Louise Lowen and John Martin's in the hospital. There are notes there about them. Please continue to pray for them. And pray for those that have come out of the hospital. We pray for Louise and Rudy, and also for Ed Redekop. He has his thank you there. Sounds like the surgery was fairly successful. Things are going well, and he's thankful for the prayer shawl. Item number 6, there's thanks to those that have organized the 80th anniversary slideshow and narrative and information about getting more of that for yourself. Number 7, the youth want to have an amazing time. So hopefully they have a good time getting lost and finding each other on Wednesday. On the 18th, next Sunday, we're baby boomers going to the Human Rights Museum, not after church. Immediately after church means 2 o'clock at the museum. That's pretty close. Pretty close. It got changed. So 2 o'clock at the entrance of the museum, and it says email Brian, and he might actually even read the email. And he didn't read mine. And Gary might even send another email out. The good news in number 9 is that we have a kids club starting up, and all we need is you. So please get ready for that. Number 10, we're happy to announce that Tim will be installed on the 1st of November, and look forward to Tim and Stephanie becoming our members at that time. And there's other announcements that you can read. There's lots of them. Please take time to think and pray about those. And it is Thanksgiving. Is there anything that anybody would like to share at this time, a prayer concern or a Thanksgiving? Yeah. I can start it off. Keep driving by a sign on Elmwood MB Church, and I thought it was one of the gifts of the Spirit. Actually, it isn't. But it says, true humility is not thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking of ourselves less. I like that. Janet, please.
It's something to steady me, I think, more than the pew. There is a church that has invited me for a candidating weekend. Finally. But it's in Ontario. So there's lots of mixed feelings in our house. So I just ask for your prayers, as we get to, get closer to what I've been working for so long, but also, make a decision about a large move for our family. So, thank you for all of your support over the years. And, keep praying for me. Thanks.
Anyone else? I'm thankful that the election's exciting and there's a lot of people talking about it and we have a free country. You know, only mudslinging is happening between politicians, not between protesters. As you think of different things, I found a prayer called Prayer for the People about Galatians, which is our topic today, so I will be reading that. It's generic, but there'll be pauses in there for you can add what you really want to pray for. And just to make it a little bit nicer, we're also going to sing a short song in between there. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. You can start with the song.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Lord, your people have come to you this day, fully aware that we need your presence and your help in our lives, yet aware as well that we often fail to stop and to turn for your help. We get caught up in the troubles and turmoils of daily living. We get busy with goals that we have set for ourselves and those who have come from work, families, and friends. We strive to be loving. We seek joy and peace. We desire to be gentle and patient and kind, to show goodness and to have self-control, and that these too often elude us. Help us, Lord, to root ourselves more deeply in you, to seek your will for our lives, to stop and listen to your voice when we are troubled, to fully rely on you when we strive to do what is right, to remember and trust you when we are assaulted, to meditate on your goodness and your graciousness when we begin each day, so that like trees by a stream which send down their roots to the water, we may produce your power, through your power, the fruit of your Spirit. Lord, hear our prayers. Gracious God, we remember the concerns and prayers that have been lifted up in this last week by members of this congregation and our community. Concerns and prayers that we now pray with them for all those who are lonely, fearful, or in pain, those struggling with addictions and dependencies that cripple their lives and harm the world around them. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray too, Lord, for those who come fresh to our minds and hearts this day. Perhaps a family member we have prayed for many weeks or years, or a friend who is struggling to find meaning in his life, an acquaintance who needs healing, a stranger that needs the comfort of your spirit as they grieve. Lord, hear your people as they pray, and name those names, those concerns before you. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Thank you, Lord, for being our God and making us your people. Thank you for your growing in us and helping us to grow. Thank you for the ministry you entrust to us. May your will be done in us and by us, both now and forevermore. Amen. The offering will be taken. Well,
es schaut bei Nacht und Tage, dein holdes Bild mich an. Und trägt mir wohl die Frage, ob ich dich lassen kann. Mein Gott, ich bin entschieden, auf ewig bin ich dein. Ich kann ja ohne Frieden und ohne dich nicht sein.
It's such a beautiful old song. If you want to sing along, please feel free.
Die Freude dieser Erde sah ich wie Schaum vergehen. Sie konnten mir nichts werden, dein Kreuz nur blieb mir stehen. Mein Gott, ich bin entschieden, auf ewig bin ich dein. Ich kann ja ohne Frieden und ohne dich nicht sein. Ob damit ich gejamme, wenn Satans List mich schlug, jetzt hab ich ihn umklammert, der meine Sünden trug. Mein Gott, ich bin entschieden, auf ewig bin ich dein. Ich kann ja ohne Frieden und ohne dich nicht sein. Nun steht bei Nacht und Tage dein Bild im Herzen mir, dass ich es jedem sage, wie gut es ist bei dir. Mein Gott, ich bin entschieden, auf ewig bin ich dein. Ich kann ja ohne Frieden und ohne dich nicht sein.
Scripture passage this morning is Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters of Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love you have for all God's people. the faith and love that spring from the hope stored for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us about your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His might, His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into His kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. May God be with you, Gary, as you minister to us.
Well, when I was younger, 10 or thereabouts, my friends and I would find it very exciting when we came across a comic book. There were certainly none in our house. We couldn't afford them. And if there were in it, they probably would have been used to start the fire in the morning. But at any rate, we'd come across a comic. It wasn't just the comic that was exciting. It was the ads in the back. And some of you will remember these. In between the ads for the monkey people, that you add water and you have these monkey sea people. Remember those? And the shoes that made you taller, and the x-ray glasses, and the garlic gum. That was a favorite. Oh, this would be so funny if we had that. In between there, there was another ad that was just really cool. It was an ad by Charles Atlas. Do you remember that one? Now, Charles Atlas was actually a character. That wasn't his name. He took on the name Atlas. It's the god who held up the sky. Remember, it's a picture of the guy with the world on his shoulders. And Charles Atlas was a very famous bodybuilder, probably the most famous bodybuilder that there has ever been, I think. And he would have this little cartoon at the back, and it would usually start with a 97-pound weakling. Not sure why it's 97 pounds, but it was. So it would go something like this. A 97-pound weakling went to the beach with his girlfriend. A bully came along, kicked sand in his face, pushed him over, took his girlfriend, and walked away. So, he was all mad, went home, kicked a chair. It was always a chair he would kick. He would kick a chair, then he ordered this package from Charles Atlas, got it in the mail, got all buff, went down to the beach, beat up the bully, took his woman back, and she said, "Oh, you're such a man." Now, at 10 years old, we weren't so interested in beating up people, nor were we interested in the girls. I mean, oh, yuck, right? But the whole notion of being all buff, and being it walking around school and everybody going, "Oh, look at that," really intrigued us. And so we would get together and we'd talk about this. We should order this together. And we're going to get all strong and mighty. It's going to be amazing. You may have noticed that I didn't actually do that. But it was something that we looked to being. We would like to be like that. We'd like to be like Charles Atlas. And nobody's going to mess with us, and they're sure not going to kick sand in our face and take our girlfriend. We all have pictures in our mind about what we want to be. Some of those are physical. I wish I was taller. I wish I was thinner. I wish I had better cheekbones. I wish I had hair. You know, those kinds of things. Some of them are personality things. You know, I wish I was more outgoing. But a lot of them have to do with our character. See you a little better from here. A lot of them have to do with our character. This is the kind of thing we think about at 3 in the morning when you wake up, for those of us who do that. You lay in bed, and along come all these thoughts. I wish I was kind. I wish I didn't get so mad all the time. I wish this is the whole string of things, and you know the rest of them, so I don't know. And part of those are put there by the people who raised us, in my case it was my mother, instilling a whole bunch of guilt to make sure I stayed in straight and narrow. But part of it is put there by the way we're made. God has made us, and we're made to reflect who He is, and that's who we are. And when we don't, something doesn't feel right. And so God says through Paul in Galatians, hey, we can fix that. How about we grow some the fruit of the Spirit in you? The Holy Spirit will make that grow, and you will become the person. Now, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit for a while. I talked about love, joy, and peace. Elizabeth, 2 weeks ago, talked about patience, kindness, and goodness. I forgot to tell Frau White that we... long story. So here we are today, and we want to talk briefly about faithfulness, gentleness, and self-care. Now, the way I'm looking at these today is up beside Charles' atlas above my mirror. One day I will put I'd like to put these other three characteristics I would like to give it to my mind. Take a minute to look at them. God is faithful, which means God is trustworthy, God is reliable, God promises, all these promises deal with us. We have some interesting ways that the faithfulness of God is connected. God is faithful and gives us. God is faithful and will not tempt us beyond our evil. God is faithful. Now, when we think about what it means to be faithful, well, in terms of God, we say, God promised us. And so faithfulness means looking like trying to follow the way of God. Thank you. beside Charles Atlas by the mirror when you take a look and say, we're on the way. The second one in that triad is gentleness. Now, gentleness is a bit of a funny word. Some translations say meekness, some say humility. So humility is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And it sounds like a kind of a spineless thing. I will not have any opinions or push myself on anything. And that's not at all what it means. In fact, gentleness has been defined as strength under control. Isn't that beautiful? Strength under control. And so we do have, it's not sort of throwing our backbone out. It's getting focused and in our lives. There's three ways in which Scripture uses this term. The first one is that gentleness, in terms of our relationship with God, means that we submit. We're gentle in relationship. We submit our will. And that shows in the way that we live. The second way that the term is used is it's used in relation to how we accept what people do to us, the way they talk to us, the way they treat us. And gentleness means that we are listening and caring to people. We are actually teachable. And gentle means we learn. And here's a funny thing. The more we are open to learning from people, the more we realize everyone is something. There's nobody that is so useless that we have nothing to learn. And there's a kind of humility where that word comes from. There's something comforting about this that we realize the people that we have had no harm with, that we've pushed away, either we think we're better than them, smarter, richer, whatever, or they've made a mistake and now we write them off. And we realize that God works through everyone. We're teachable. It also means how we receive the things that come at us that are difficult. How we receive criticism. How we receive that gracious. What we do when people treat us in ways that we shouldn't. Do we get upset and hold a grudge and look for revenge? Graciousness. Gentleness. He says no. This is yourself. This is how you're feeling. I'll let you feel that way, and I'm not taking it personally. The third way that the term gentleness is used is how I respond. How I treat it. Gentleness means that I have a capacity to be compassionate, caring, and understanding. Gentleness, there was a wonderful definition of it, something like gentleness or strength. Gentleness is strength that compensates for the weakness of our character. I love that definition. Have you ever met with someone that you really look up to and you walk away from your encounter? One of the people who does that or did that was his name was in the bulletin last week. He passed. He was one of my profs at college when I was there. Just a brilliant man. Involved in a lot of different causes. But somehow, when you get in a room with all these wise people, most of the wise people were where you thought they would be, which is at the front, spewing wisdom. David would be sitting with whoever he encountered and just talking. And he left, and he felt somehow special. He never pushed you on issues that you didn't know about. He didn't ever leave saying, well, you know, if you were smarter, maybe we could have a better conversation. Just made you feel great. There are two people in the Bible who reflect the quality of gentleness. One of them is Moses. I would never have thought this, but if you think through the story, it makes sense. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, Moses was the most humble person on the face of the earth. It's NIV. And the other person, of course, is Jesus. If you look at Matthew 11, 28-30, that passage which says, come to me, all who are weary, I have a gentle heart. In both these characters, we see them submitting to the Lord. We see both of them receiving from other people, positive or negative, without getting angry. And in both of them, we see the gentle.
things personally.
I want to be the kind of person who, as I deal with people, I build them up. When they walk away from their conflict, third one is self-control. That was pretty clear. It means controlling ourselves. It means sort of looking after every area of our life so that we are allowing life to control us. Another spend all their free time at work. Break my records. Sometimes I start doling out the cash. Sometimes it happens to me. When we get angry, it just kind of washes over us and we lash out, and later on we feel stupid and we know what's going to happen. Sometimes it happens. Self-control is really important for a number of reasons. First of all, as we relate to God, we were supposed to submit to God, right? How do you submit to God if something else controls you? The Bible says in relation to money, you can't serve two masters. It's one or the other. And so if we want to submit ourselves to God, we need to get ourselves together when it comes to the other areas. Also, very often the things that control us aren't really in keeping with the values of God. When I fly off the handle and my response to everything is anger, it's probably not the things that God would line up for me. Or drinking or whatever. The second reason that it's important is it affects our relationship with God. If our go-to response to everything is anger or drinking, or staying at work, or whatever it might be, how do you build good relationships with us? Jesus says that we're supposed to serve each other. Serve people. It's pretty hard to say to somebody, I'm going to serve you, and then lash out at them in the next sentence. Stamp me. Oh, that's a perfect thing. Got the right spot. Does it make sense? Third and really important is that we need to control ourselves. There's something back to the truth. You start thinking, why do I do this? Why do I always do it? 2 years ago, MCC put out a book that's called Bernard. And it talks about the struggle that people have with 30 years as a pastor, oh my, seems such a foundation of pastors. I've seen it ruin careers, I've seen it ruin marriages, and I've seen it ruin lives. I don't know how many times, it's usually young men who come in, they open the office, hi, how are you doing, Gary? And as soon as the door shuts, they dissolve the tears. Geography now is. And it's so sad to see that happening. The good news is there's a way to deal with that, as there is a way to work at all. The person who exemplifies self-control, of course, would be Daniel. I'm going to let you read that story to Daniel chapter 1. All of this comes together under the fruit of the Spirit. These 9 fruit of the Spirit are around our mirror. Love, joy, peace. They're all around our mirror, and we look at them and we say, oh, we get discouraged. We say, I'm 59. I'm still doing this. I'm still not exhibiting these things. What's this? It's the Spirit. The result of listening to the song. That relationship with the Spirit is any relationship. It's time. So in the evening, we can come together to worship like we're doing. Get our mind focused on God and be reminded that there's hope. We can spend time in the Scripture and spend time and being with other friends who encourage us in this way. There's so many ways that we do it. And the promise is that we these fruits grow. Now the passage that John read from Colossians 1. He says, I see this stuff. We need to get together to encourage each other. These pictures, Charles asked the other nine around our mirror.
simply part of me. Close with thy fire divine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live within a perfect life of thine eternity. But live within a perfect life of thine eternity.